Welcome to the Cyan Recon Podcast, the wrestling show that sometimes breaks kayfabe but discusses comics, movies, video games, anime, and all things relevant to pop culture. I'm one of your hosts, Cyan of Flame.
And I'm Throd Regan.
Today we're going to be talking about Age of Ultron, a brand new movie from Marvel, and all of the upcoming slate of Marvel movies, and a little bit of fantasy booking on what we think is going to be happening. But just kicking it off, Age of Ultron, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I would say better than the first Avengers for me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Better villain, if anything. If there's one thing that I walked out of Age of Ultron that I liked better, was that I liked the villain way more than I did Loki in the first Avengers.
I wouldn't say I liked the villain more than I liked Loki, but it was good to have, like, just pure evil. Like, there's zero thought and everything, because Loki's just, like, he's so cute and snarky and everything, and Ultron had his snarkiness moments in there, because he was surprisingly comical. But unlike with Loki, you don't think, like, oh, he's got these ulterior motives, or he just wants, you know, so-and-so to like him, or whatever. Like,
right.
No, like, Ultron's flat-out evil.
Yeah, and I kind of like that there was at first, I know there was a lot of resistance to the fact that Ultron, for those that don't know, in the comics, Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, creates Ultron inadvertently at first, but and then it becomes what it becomes. But here, it's actually Tony Stark, with the help of the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner, that actually creates this, the Ultron program. So, at first I didn't care for them making that change. I was kind of like, it makes sense within the cinematic universe, because it wouldn't make sense to have to somehow put Hank Pym in there as the person who created Ultron. So I liked that it was Iron Man that created him, and then because of that, as we know how Tony Stark is, his personality sort of like overlapped with Ultron, which is why he was so snarky and, you know, he had that attitude towards things.
Yeah, he was kind of born in Iron Man's computer system, so he was able to get a lot of Iron Man's, you know, characterisms based in his programming. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you can completely say he was created by Iron Man. He was kind of just created himself in a way, almost.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think
because it was Scarlet Witch set up that he put it into his head that, like, he needed to go into a form of panic, and it pushed him to create it. And she even makes a comment and everything, like, we didn't know how it was going to lead, but we knew it was going to lead in this general direction type thing. And then, you know, Bruce Banner was definitely a part of it, but they stepped out of the room after failing multiple times, and then Ultron was like, hey, I got through, cool.
Yeah, and I think I think Jarvis inadvertently, the Jarvis AI inadvertently sort of helped him gain, like, sentience, I guess? Like, there was like that moment when Jarvis was sort of guiding Ultron, and inadvertently, by saying certain things to him, like that moment where he wakes up and, you know, he's like, oh, you know, like, what is happening? And Jarvis would respond, and when Jarvis would respond, Ultron didn't know what he was talking about, so he would have to search it. So their back and forth created him. So Jarvis was also part of the creation process.
Peace in our time.
Yeah.
Peace in our time.
Yeah. I kind of like that. I like the way they did it. It felt organic. It didn't feel forced, because I remember when I was watching the trailers, I was like, how are we going to get to this part? Like, how are we going to create a villain so early in the movie that, you know, he's going to be the villain for an entire 2 hours and be actually engrossing and make sense? So I kind of like how they did it. I was really afraid that it was going to feel rushed, but it didn't. It felt like it was paced rather well, and especially his upgrades. He kept upgrading his body throughout the movie. I like that as well.
Yeah, which is pretty much in line with the Ultron character,
mm-hmm.
the comics as well, because he's continually, you know, retrofitting and up and everything.
Right.
We kind of saw the Ultron 6 as the main phase in there, but the thing that I thought was funny was his final form, the one that had the vibranium. I thought that one didn't, like, even though it was beefier, it didn't look mm-hmm. as cool as the one that he was the most of the movie. I thought the Bo's cheeks was the best one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of like that one. And that's the one I think they showed in the trailers the most, I think. I'm pretty sure that's the one that we saw the most.
Yeah, he spent the most time in that one, because in the final one, like, it was pretty much just Fight City. Yeah, he was just fighting once he reached that point, and he tried to do that random jump scare moment.
That's right, yeah. And then he killed himself, kind of, like the other one offed him.
Yeah, his main body killed, like, his previous body right in front of Widow and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, yeah, going for a jump scare. That one admittedly got me, because I was like,
I think most people,
who the hell, like, just killed Ultron? Like, what's gonna happen here? Like, is Thanos here already?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, it's Thanos, like, are we setting up freaking Infinity War already?
I was just confused at who killed him, and then it was him himself, and I was like, oh, he's just playing, like, mind games or something like that. Like,
yeah, he's just mean. Again, the Tony Stark DNA.
Just very a total
strong.
Showman.
Yeah, very strong. Like, I love how when we first met him, when we officially met him in his actual Ultron body, not when he was, you know, all weakened and whatever, after the Avengers party, which, by the way, probably the greatest non-action scene involving the Avengers, this side of the, what was the scene from the last Avengers when they were all fighting between each other, when Loki sort of, like, set them against each other, and Bruce Banner had the scepter, and everyone was kind of like, hey, Dr. Banner, put the scepter down. Like, that scene was great, but the party scene, along with the after-party scene, where they were just sitting down trying to lift Mjolnir, that was probably the greatest scene in the Marvel Universe for me, like, that didn't involve fighting or
that
anything like that.
That scene being so good, like, led me to, like, look at my friend, and afterwards it was like, movie needed more Anthony Mackie, needed more Don Cheadle. Like,
right?
Like, Falcon, he didn't get enough spot in there. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more Falcon, have him do a run-in save, mm-hmm. but I just love War Machine telling his story to Iron Man and Thor, and he goes, like, and then I take his tank and I drop down and I'm like, oh, boom, you looking for this?
And they no-sell him?
They just deadpan. They're like, oh, it's at the end of the story. Oh, it's quite good. It's quite good.
And then when he tells the story, like, to random groups, everyone's, like, laughing, howling, and he's like, I knew it. It's a good story.
And then he, like, chins up. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I love Don Cheadle as War Machine. Is he going by War Machine now? Is that
War Machine? Yeah. Okay. It's back to War Machine because he was not in the Iron Patriot.
Yeah, because he was. Yeah, like I never liked how he had different names. So it was kind of like.
That's fine with the Iron Patriot. Like, I have no problem with Iron Patriot. I actually like Iron Patriot. But War Machine's the more popular.
Yeah,
and
I always think of, like, as soon as I think of Iron Patriot, like, I immediately go, like, Iron Patriot, and then I go, oh, yeah, War Machine, like, that's usually how my thought process goes anyway.
True.
So.
Either that or you go, Iron Patriot, isn't that Norman Osborn's suit?
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. But, yeah, I was waiting throughout the movie for Falcon to have a moment. Like, I was very hyped when he appeared at the end, and I was like, oh, wait, the movie's over. Like, so I did like the addition of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the movie, because I really think, and I think, I don't know if it was Josh Whedon or Kevin Feige, one of them mentioned it. I'm pretty sure it was Josh. And he said something like, he needed to have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the movie because all the powers in the current Avengers roster was pretty much someone, they're all melee characters, basically. Like, they could all just beat someone up, but they had different ways of beating them up, like,
but
with their fists.
Every once in a while, you need to have a magic blasting.
Yeah, like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, you know, he runs really, really, like, he's basically, you know, like, the poor man's Flash, and Scarlet Witch is, you know.
I don't know about all that. The poor man's Flash, I think he's the rich man's Flash, because A, bigger budget, and B, Quicksilver beat his archer, whereas Flash got his ass beat by an archer.
Boom. Fair enough. Points. Fair enough.
Point Marvel.
But I'm pretty sure Barry Allen is still alive, whereas Quicksilver, spoiler alert, already gone. which I think tremendous waste for such a cool character, because I really think he should have stayed. Like, he should still be there, like, for the Infinity War. I really don't like that he's gone already. I thought of all the people that could have died, they could have had, like, Hawkeye die, and I wouldn't have cared. If Black Widow would have died, I know, like, everyone would have lost their mind, but I would have been like, all right, cool. Like, one regular human dead, no problem. Quicksilver dying, still salty about it.
Quicksilver dying, I don't know. We're jumping right into the spoiler session, I guess, but...
We're just going through the motions
right
now.
It did not bother me at all that Quicksilver died. I mean, Kevin Feige can come out and say, you know, what he's going to say about, like, dead is dead in the Marvel movies, even though, like, they already proved that it's not if you're going to be freaking... You know, Coulson of all people, and if Coulson can come back, you bet your ass Quicksilver could come back, and it just doesn't make sense to keep him out of the loop unless, you know, he definitely doesn't want to. But I'm not gonna have any problem with the fact that if Quicksilver's never back or is back all the time, because there's really only so much you can really do with him as part of it. I like him, and I really liked the acting presentation. It had a lot more of a swagger and was a lot more true to the character.
Yeah, like I liked how he was kind of snarky. Like I liked it. I liked that he had more. There was more humor in his performance. Like after he got comfortable, you know, being part of the group, you know, not being. Ultron's lackey, because, I mean, half the movie was Wanda, Ultron, Quicksilver, you know, together, like the trio, the bad trio, so to speak. But when he came to the Avengers side, like, I liked the way they did him. I just liked the way he had funny lines, and he had his power set fit well.
You didn't see that coming?
Yeah, you didn't see that? Probably, like, the better line that he uttered in the movie. That one and the, you were reminding me about the scene where he, was trying to get the cops to move. And what was that second line? I can't remember it.
Get off your asses.
Yeah.
He just runs in, shoots the gun, throws the gun at one of the guys. They're like, come on, get off your asses.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
And then seconds later, his sister is, you know, forcibly raping people's minds and forcing them to... you know, obey her whims, because she's not a hero at all in this movie.
Right. Yeah, she was, I mean, she was, as far as, like, heels go...
A villainess, like, yeah, 90% of that movie. Like.
Yeah, she was worse than, like, Loki, because, you know, Loki could control people with, like, the scepter, but, I mean, she could just, like, wave at their head and, like, you know, like, nightmare mode, which was really weird seeing that kind of...
And Loki's been, you know, raised as a prince and, like, thinking, like, oh, I'm a god, like, everyone should treat me like I'm fucking special.
Right.
Meanwhile, like, she's, like, supposed to be, like, this person who's, like, come from, you know, our backgrounds and everything and, you know, went through all this stuff, so she shouldn't be so shitty to regular people, but there she is being shitty to people. Like,
yeah. Yeah, she was pretty horrifying, like, initially. I was actually legit scared of her in the 20, 30 minutes where she would just appear out of the shadows, you know, with the red eyes. And
just, like, kind of, like, swirling her hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she had all this, and they had that weird, like, the ring presentation with her walking backwards and, you know, like... kind of, like, tilting her head to the side, her hair draping down. It was very horror movie-esque, the way... And, again, I get it, Scarlet Witch. Like, they were playing off the witch thing. I mean, they wanted to kind of hone that down, that she was supposed to be scary, but I think they went a little overboard initially. And then, you know, the face turn happens, you know, what, halfway through the movie? And I can't remember exactly what...
75% of the way through the movie, like...
What was that?
75% of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Like the movie's almost done. And she's like,
it's like pretty much 11th hour. She's like, oof, I backed the wrong horse here.
Oh man, like, yeah, because you never get that feeling from Pietro. Like, Like, you never get that feeling from him. You kind of see him more as someone who goes like, eh, I just want to protect my sister, which yeah, again, really pretty sister, much,
think, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much how his character has always been depicted, like, to my knowledge. Like, he's always been all about protecting Wanda. So I was okay with that. Yeah, but like you said, yeah, she was pretty much a heel, like, dick throughout the whole movie. And then at the end, she's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to help these guys. I did like the little pep talk that Hawkeye had with her towards the end. When she was, I can't remember what happened. She was just, like, freaking out. I don't know if it was about her brother or whatever. And he was just kind of sitting there like, listen, like you got, if you don't want to do this, that's fine. Like, I don't care, so to speak. But we have to do
this. I just need to get a clear answer on if you're going to go out there and do something and help. Or if you're going to stay here. But I can't stay here as emotional support. Like, I'm not going to leave while you're breaking down, but I can't be here. I need to save people. That's right. My job.
Yeah, exactly. But, I love that scene.
And then, like, streams of bullets shoot through the wall, and he continues his, like, inspirational speech while shooting an arrow back out the hole. It's like,
yeah.
Why are you so cool, Hawkeye?
Like, yeah.
why are you married to fine-ass Velma? Like,
I know. I love that. I think
Velma from Scooby-Doo is Hawkeye's wife. Second spoiler.
Freaking grandma's boy, bruh. Nah. But, Hawkeye, I didn't really care much about Hawkeye in the first movie, but I mean, Hawkeye had the same problem that Wanda had in this movie. Hawkeye spent like 50-60%, actually no, Hawkeye spent like, 70% of the first movie as a bad guy under the spell of Loki. So it wasn't until the Battle of New York that he actually fought with them. So same thing happened here with Wanda. But in this movie, you know, you have Clint Barton for the majority of the film being sort of a focus because, you know, they had the moment in the beginning with them kind of like bantering with them. And then obviously the post-party and then...
Yeah, he's drunk, and he's like, it's a scam, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's a
totally
scam.
Totally lift his hammer. Like, whoever like, has the fingerprints of Thor can...
Be he, whoever, whatever, man.
I like how he just flipped out. He's like, I don't buy it. None of it.
Yeah, he was so trashed when he said that line.
Yeah, he was just toasted. And then, like, everyone else goes up and everything. I mean, we'd all talked about this one. You know, months before the movie came out, because this was the first scene that they really gave to us. Mm-hmm. But the Captain America almost lifting the hammer moment, like, where it tilts, and you're all like, wait, so Cap's almost worthy? Like,
yeah,
almost
the,
worthy.
Yeah,
like,
almost.
So, seeing as how, like, his horrific vision is just like, I didn't get to dance, like, is that the worst thing that he had, like, that's the thing that keeps him worthy? Like,
yeah,
or was it because he was drinking? Like, what's his unworthiness? Because that's my only thing, is if we didn't get a vision of darkness at all when she went into his mind,
I think what that was trying to say, and this is the way I interpreted that because of the wordiness and then the visions, and then obviously everyone had horrific visions. Like, I mean, like, we all know, just like Natasha said, like, that's not a question I need answered, right? Like, she knew, and her vision was just horrific, right? So, you know, like, she's not a person who could ever lift that hammer, right?
So,
and, you know,
let's talk about Black Widow.
Well, before we go to that, because I know that's going to be, like half of what we're going to talk about. Before we go into the Black Widow thing, because Lord knows everyone has an opinion about the whole Black Widow, Bruce Banner thing. Before we go to that, the way I interpreted the Captain America, Thor, the Mjolnir thing, and his vision, I don't think it was so much that he wasn't worthy, right? We all know Captain America, out of every single Avenger, he's the purest one, right? He's the Goku. He can fly the Nimbus, right? That's him. What I think happened in that scene and in the vision is that they were telling you he has not been able to let go of something. I don't know if it's the thing with Carter. I don't know if it's because he hasn't let go of the past and, you know, fully commit to, like, his position in the future. I don't know what it is that they're trying to tell us, but I know that that's what's holding him back to be worthy. Once he lets go of that, once he lets go of the past, once he fully commits to the present, once he commits to being the leader, once he's all in, he will lift that hammer. I think that's what that was trying to tell you.
So his thing is that he's still too holed up in the past.
Yeah, I think that's why his vision, because everyone's vision was like something horrific, right? Like something bad, something that was like.
So survivor's guilt is weighing him down.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what that scene, because he didn't
fair argument.
And I think at the ending, and I don't want to like move too forward, but I think it has to tie in. In the ending, when he actually, you know, when Tony went his separate way and did his thing, and he's sitting there with the new team, and he says, "Event," you know, he almost says "Avengers Assemble," but he's basically committing fully.
Won't allow that.
Right, yeah. Like, when he's fully committing to that, I think he steps very, very much closing in to being worthy of Mjolnir.
Interesting. So, following up with that, so going back to Black Widow, we've got a big bunch of controversy over if people really think that she should be with Bruce Banner, the Hulk type thing. And,
right.
And that somehow takes away from her, you know, feminine power as, you know, an empowering character that is, you know, a horrible thing. And somebody had a comment that said, when she's talking with Bruce, mm-hmm. she has that comment where she talks about how the Red Room took away her ability to have children.
Right.
And that she was an assassin and all these horrible things. And that when she says, "You're not the only monster on the team," to Hulk, that was meaning that she's a monster because of the fact that she can't give birth. And I don't get how somebody got this reading, but like I've seen it in multiple places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so a woman who can't give birth is monstrous. Like I know for a fact Joss Whedon didn't mean this, and I mean,
right.
It's just completely unfortunate that like that was a potential reading into it. But
yeah.
I don't see how that's what she meant, because she's talking about like you know, Hulk, you've killed people, and that's the main thing that they've been driving around, that Bruce Banner hates. Bruce Banner hates the fact that he has murder literally on his hands because of his time as the Hulk and everything. That's why when Natasha in the beginning of the movie says Thor established a part on the Hulk, and Thor says the halls of hell are filled with the screams of his enemies.
Yeah, and he kind of looks at him.
He starts like crying, and he's like, "Wounded screams, wounds."
Yeah,
and everything. And she's saying, "You know, I was an assassin. I've murdered tons and tons of people. I've got
a
lot of red in my ledger," which she said in her first movie, apparently.
Right.
So. She's talking about you're not the only monster on the team as in a murderer, not trying to say that a woman who can't give birth is, you know, somehow monstrous or anything.
Yeah,
like
I think a lot of people wanted to get that reading because, or they forgot who the character is. Like these people that are saying like, oh, you know, that's what was meant. Like, are they forgetting who is being talked about? Like, this is a again, like you said, an assassin, a murderer. Like, like that's the only reading of the character that you should have. When that scene happened, if anything, I was more sympathetic to her because she had no choice about anything in her life. She had no choice about whether about her body. She had no choice about her profession. She had no choice about her upbringing. Like Scarlet. Or Scarlet, sorry. Black Widow had no choice whatsoever in her anything about her life. She had no opinion about how her life was supposed to go. Like, from the get-go, she was pretty much created in a way, right? So, she's trying to atone. Like, not so much atone, but, like, she's trying to end. I don't know, like, the way that scene went down, I really never in a million years would have thought that people were going to react the way they did. Which is why I'm still surprised that people reacted that way.
The Red Room flashback sequence that she had was so good. Like, that just made me say, like, I really want a Black Widow movie. I want to see her as, you know, a super spy. I want to see, like, a bit of her background in flashbacks. Having her try to, like, atone for those sins and everything. Like, meeting up, like, taking out the Red Room. Anything along those lines.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
And again, I think this whole thing, I think we do need, like, a movie. Maybe that's, I don't know if that would be, like, a, what do you call that, damage control on Marvel? Because I really don't want them to do, quote-unquote, damage control, because I really don't think any damage has been done here. I do think we do need a solo Hawkeye, Black Eye, or Black Widow, Black, Black Eye, Hawkeye, Black Widow movie, just to sort of, like, show more of them, because I think that scene with her upbringing, I think it showed more about her character than I thought, you know.
Well, I just loved that whole thing, the crazy black swan imagery of, you know, the forcefully trained, you know, classical ballet held up, and then, you know, in the room, it's like, shoot 1, 2, 3 with the right hand, switch 1, 2, 3 with the left hand, shoot 1, 2, 3 with the right hand, and everything. Yeah. And then now, okay, it's a person there and everything. Kill him, like, kill him. And then, you know, she's fighting and they're like, you just tapped out. Like, I think it's horrible that you're pretending that you couldn't have killed him. Like, we know that you're a murderer, so be a murderer.
Right. And again, the one thing though, I don't know also, what was your reading about, like, the fans' reaction towards Black Widow and Bruce Banner being, like, an item? Like, you read, obviously, way more comics than I do. I sort of do, like, a couple of comics here and there, and I read, like, 20 at a time. You know, I read, like, an arc, and then I'm done for a while. You obviously read hundreds of comics, like, probably monthly. So my question to you is, like, is this something that's out of character for, like, Black Widow, Bruce Banner, or...?
It's not terribly out of character, in my opinion. So, like, I very much have a feeling of, you know, I separate. Like, I don't feel that there needs to be some sort of quote-unquote loyalty to comics if you're making a TV adaptation or a movie adaptation, because, like, God knows that, you know, the TV show Arrow has, you know, minimal influences, like, of, like, rigid following of the Green Arrow comics, or even the TV show Flash to the Flash comics.
Right.
Like, there's so many mix-ups. I mean, there's no, like, Detective Joe West is his dad, like...
Right, right. Yeah, oh, yeah, like, there's... Yeah.
and all sorts of stuff, like, so there's a lot of different changes and everything that they have that are original for different things. So I don't necessarily feel that there needs to be a fluidity. I mean, as long as, like, certain things are kept, like, set up and I feel that it's a strong character on its own, I don't necessarily think it has to hold up to a certain litmus test. Mm-hmm. But if I were to, I would say it's not terribly out of character. Like, Natasha in the comics, she still has a lot more trouble being kind of that funny person with people a lot of times, because she's still very cold and has all that training in spy style. Mm-hmm. But she can laugh and everything. It's just like the thing that I would incorporate into the movie universe of the comic Natasha is she has this tendency when you read the issues that she laughs at, like, these horrific moments, like, oh, what are we going to do with the villain? And, like, all of a sudden she starts busting out laughing, and you're like, she's thinking about, like, torturing the shit out of that guy right now. Like,
right.
and it just makes you feel kind of uncomfortable, because it's like, oh, yeah, she could do that. Like, at any moment, she could do that. a lot of the aspects, the straight-up, the lullaby storyline, the touching, the interactions... the romance somewhat with Hulk, that reminds me a lot of a few different comic arts. So they had a comic arc where Tigra was in that role,
and a comic arc where Spider-Woman was in that role.
So this has happened, so basically, before you continue, this has happened with other women that, are not called Betty Banner.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That's basically, because that's the main complaint I hear.
So, I mean, Tigra, she would sing a literal lullaby, to Hulk to, like, calm him down and everything, and she was there, and then she would hold the, you know, collapsed Banner and take him in. And then Spider-Woman, because of her pheromones and her superpowers, she can basically mentally control any man that she wants. And, like, Hulk was, like, walking around, and she's like, yeah, I could, you know, get Hulk to make me a sandwich if you want. And he's like, Hulk, no, make sandwich. And she goes, Hulk, make me a sandwich. And you see, like, Hulk, like, you know, buttering up bread and stuff like that, like, 10 seconds later. I mean, it's a really funny scene from the, you know, genius Kelly Sue DeConnick. In Avengers Assemble. But, you know, we didn't get to see Spider-Woman. That's too much to add into the role. So, I mean, right. A little bit of melding of two characters, you know, personalities, and having her be, you know, fun and flirtatious, but, you know, actually trying to open up and have her own thing. My problem with the Banner-Widow relationship isn't the Banner-Widow relationship. It's that everyone on the team thought it was their place to comment on their fucking lives. Like,
yeah,
that's
what
bothered me. It's like, hey, Cap, great that you have, like, an opinion on the matter, but, like, how about you leave the dude the fuck alone after he talks to the woman? Like,
yeah, I think what it was, honestly, the way I read it was that was their way of telling the audience that this was happening. Right? Like exposition. And it sort of came off like, it came off silly when, you're right, like, the relationship itself was fine. But the way everyone sort of kept going like, haha, Black Widow, haha, Bruce Banner, it came off as exposition and silly. Yeah. At the same time, coming from someone who's seen this, like, in a workplace and seen it, like, play out, it didn't come off nearly as unnatural for, like, someone like Cap to say that. Because I have seen people do that kind of thing. Where like, they mention, like, oh, so you guys are an item?
It's just, if anyone should be annoyed with anybody, it shouldn't be at two, you know, grown adults for having feelings for each other and actually being pretty in their own realm of how they're trying to understand the relationship. Because, like, Bruce very much is hesitant to, you know, accept that he deserves anything good.
Right.
And she's like, I really want it, and I'm pushing, like, way too hard for this type thing. But, like, everyone else commenting on it. The only one that I liked commenting on it was Hawkeye's wife, because she's so close with Widow, and seeing them together for, like, 10 minutes, she's talking, she's like, oh, you're so cute, when Hawkeye had no idea.
Yeah.
Type thing. Was the thing that I enjoyed seeing out of that. As far as, rather than Banner Widow, the Hulk Widow thing was straight up Jane Goodall, like, you know, evening with a gorilla type moment.
Yeah, gorillas in the mist. Like, I got that vibe too.
The mist. Yeah. I was sitting there, I was like, dude, if she touches her face and is like, or something like that, like starts signing at the Hulk or something like that, I'm gonna walk out of the theater, but
And I mean, they've always depicted Hulk when he's in Hulk mode. Like, in certain authors and certain artists have depicted the Hulk as, like, a big raging ape beast thing. Like, he's always had, like, that. I mean, the way he walks, for God's sakes, like, has, like, an ape feel to it.
Yeah, the whole jump and the rock.
Here's
what I think they missed by having that, you know, Gorillas in the Mist moment and everything, like you said, and the touching and everything. They should have had one moment where Widow went to do that. Like, it would have been perfect for the scene where he had to call in Hulkbuster and everything like that, because Widow couldn't get out there. It would have been perfect if she tried, but Hulk was in too much of a rage to accept it, and he ended up hitting her and, you know, like, hurt her. And afterwards, she's like, no, I understand. Like, I'm not mad at you. Like, it's the Hulk. Like,
yeah.
Type thing. And
and they
can, which I like. I like that they can
development with them, mm-hmm. but for them to never have that moment and everything, it just felt too contrived to me to say that, like, every single time, no matter how worked up the Hulk is, just like touching, you know, Scarlett Johansson's hand is gonna like bring you out of that state. Like, come on.
I mean, in fairness,
a little too much.
Like, in fairness, if I was the Hulk, and they're like, "Hey, only Scarlett Johansson can bring you out of it," I'd be like, "Seems legit. I'd be okay with that." Like, that would work.
I don't know. Like, it just seemed a bit too much that, like, she had, like, a perfect win record with it, and everything. And I didn't like that, like, every single time she does, like, the sun's getting real low. That line was so weird.
Yeah, that one was. That one was.
Real low, and then all that. But, I mean, just, like, the idea of, like, having a scene where he either hits her, or, like, almost hits her while in that crazy Hulk state, it wouldn't be out of character for it, and it would give you that Wolfman feel, because I totally felt that she was, you know, the woman. Have you seen the Benicio Del Toro Wolfman movie? Or the really, really old Wolfman movie?
I have seen both. I barely remember the Benicio Del Toro one, but so, I know what you're talking
about.
The
woman's though. In love with him, she gets close and everything, and there's that moment where he recognizes and he stops, but then he's still going to attack her because he's the Beast type thing.
Right.
Like, he could have gone to attack her and everything, and she realized it and, like, jumped Widow's Sting and then, like, escapes, and then Hulkbuster drops down and is like, "All right, we're going to have to go the hard way," or something like that.
Right.
And then you'd go, like, "Oh, okay, like, she can recognize certain things and get out of the situation." And in not every situation is the lullaby going to work like that. Like, sometimes Hulk's going to be too mad.
Right.
By the way, Hulkbuster being called Veronica, pure genius. Like,
nice.
Whoever had the idea that was like, "Oh, yeah, Bruce loves Betty." And it's like, wait a second, Betty and Veronica, Archie. Yeah. Woo!
Yeah, I think that might have gotten lost in a lot of people because, again, Black Widow. And we haven't heard from Betty since, like, the first Incredible Hulk movie.
Since apparently Liv Tyler, like, just disappeared or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like the character, like, they keep mentioning, and I'm so hyped, and we're going to talk about this more, but I'm so hyped that General Thunderbolt is going to appear in Civil War.
He is?
Yes, like, he's official. William Hurt is in the cast of Civil War. As General Thunderbolt. So, like, finally, like, we're finally going to hear, you know, he's going to just, like, shit all over Hulk for New York, for Korea, for, what was the town they were at the end?
I just know that they were in South Africa when he raged.
Yeah, South Africa.
I can't think
Oh, yeah, he didn't. Yeah, you're right. He didn't rage in Korea. Korea was the Ultron versus Captain America and all that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know General Thunderbolt is just going to shit all over Hulk, and he's going to be all pro-registration or whatever if they go with that story. But I'm going to forget what I was going to say because I got so hyped about General Thunderbolt.
Reload. I like that you're a Thunderbolt Ross mark. Like,
I am. Oh, dude, I am a huge. I love. I love a good. I love a good counter to a hero. Like, if you're the direct counter of a hero, like, I love you, right? So, like, I love the Joker being the counter to Batman, right? Like, that's just perfect. I love Red Skull being the direct counter of Captain America, like, which is why I still want Red Skull to appear at some point. I love Magneto, you know, Xavier, direct opposites. Like, for Hulk, I don't think there's anyone more directly opposite than Thunderbolt. Like, that's the guy. Like, to me, that's the quintessential Hulk villain, so to speak. Just because they're completely different. Like, he doesn't even have power. He's kind of like Superman and Lex Luthor, really. Like, a regular dude that just does not want this thing to be let free. You know, be let roaming around when it shouldn't be. So, I love William Hurt. Like, I love that actor.
Rather than, you know, Lex Luthor, he's a lot more like Lois Lane's father. You know, yeah. Sam Lane, who's literally the exact same character as Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
Like, true. Literally the exact same character.
Yeah. Oh, but what I did want to mention, since you mentioned the Thunderbolt Betty thing, like, they haven't mentioned her. They mentioned everything about the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk movie. And they even mentioned stuff like in between and before that. But they never talk about Betty. Like, like at all. They never mention her. Is there a reason for that? Because even Thor has made it. Like, they even had that scene where Thor and... Who was it? Thor and...
Tony?
Was it Tony? Where they're comparing girlfriends, basically?
Well, like, they were talking, and it's like, oh, Jane is the foremost physicist in the world, and up for a Nobel Prize. And then Tony's like, oh, Pepper runs a blah, blah, blah business and everything. And everyone's like, oh, okay, we're going to have to get out of here. Testosterone! And the whole Jane's better type thing. When they're arguing about their girlfriends. That was you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, they mentioned that. They even mentioned that because Jane hasn't appeared, you know, like, she didn't appear in the first Avengers. Like, they mention her, and, you know, he met her again in Dark World. And in this one, again, she doesn't appear, which is fine. Like, she doesn't have to appear. But I like that they keep mentioning her, at least, to keep her fresh. But with Hulk, Betty is, like, a non-existent. And because Black Widow romance is happening, you know, obviously... That's the focus. So the Veronica bit, probably no one, unless you were a comic book reader and you really, really are good at remembering names, you probably didn't make that connection.
For me, a comic book connection that I made that I was really excited and confused by was the inclusion of Helen Cho, who created the, you know, skin for Hawkeye and the eventual Vision body.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Cho in the comics is the mother of Amadeus Cho, who is one of the best friends of the Hulk and the eighth smartest man in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Because I was wondering too. When I was watching the movie and again, you know, like I can read some arcs and I know the main players in the Marvel universe, but I don't know the inner workings. So like I knew she was important. But I couldn't place her. And I was like, I'm not even going to think about it because, like, it's going to bug me. And I know you, and I was going to ask you, but I was like, I'll wait until we do the podcast. And he's going to mention it. He's going to throw down, like, who she is and, like, what her importance is. And there it is.
Yeah, but the change up to having her be, like, a major scientist and everything, the forefront thing. And, I mean, they pretty much implied that she's single rather than having kids.
Mm-hmm.
She's fairly young, and she just piped out with that, is Thor gonna be there? Type thing, like,
Yeah, I think there was a weird, like, sexual tension with Thor, so I'm like, is this gonna be, like, the triangle, the, you know, the romantic issue, Thor, her, and, Jane, or, it's Jane, right?
Jane Foster.
Yeah, Jane Foster. Yeah, I thought that was weird too. I was like, huh, okay. I mean, I get it because you know Thor, but is Thor gonna be there?
Dude, I would date Thor. Are you kidding me? Like, you could tell me that I was like gonna go to a party and the Avengers are gonna be there, and my first question would be like, is Thor gonna be there?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I asked if you know Elizabeth Olsen's beautiful, Scarlett Johansson's super beautiful. I wouldn't be like, is Widow gonna be there?
Right, like when I went to see the movie and they had the special cups, you know, they had the, what was it, Thor, Ultron, Hulk, and I can't remember who, was it Captain America or Iron Man, I was like, you got any Thor cups? I need one right now.
Thor is amazing.
Yeah.
He's so funny and so weird. I've only known one person, my sister of all people, who does not like Thor, like, at all.
Go figure.
Right?
There's the next boyfriend story in there somewhere now.
Ouch.
Nice. Oh, wait, but before we go to that, like, we have to talk about two things. Well, besides the ending of the movie and how we actually enjoyed it. One, Vision.
I'm not Ultron.
How...
I am on the side of life.
How great And I have to wonder, and this goes back to, we spoke about this a while ago when we were discussing DC and their lack of focus and their lack of vision, like, for a whole universe for their movies. Right?
Their lack of vision.
Yeah, like, I have to wonder, did Kevin Feige, did he predict that Jarvis, played by Paul Bethany, like, his voice, was going to eventually become the Vision, or was that just, like, the universe sort of, like, coming together? Like, because that was about, A, the most perfect casting, and B, the most perfect, like, story arc for the computer AI.
That guy looked insanely good as the Vision. Like, just, like, comes out, does that... I mean, they try to pull the plug on the machine, Thor jumps in, and it's alive! Lightning bolt strikes it and everything. Vision pops out, runs at him, flies, stops right in front of the mirror, and looks into it, and then, you know, decides, like, oh, okay, green would be good. Ooh, that's a cool-looking cape. Ooh.
Like, yeah, and then he
By the way, capes make you worthy. That's what Captain America was about.
So Cap needs a cape.
Cap needs a cape. Then confirmed. Lift the shit out of that hammer.
Cyan and Rican podcast, we predict that when Captain America wears a cape, he will become worthy. Straight up worthy.
That dude, every scene he was in, the lines were so perfect, and the cadence of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kept in line, because, I mean, I shouldn't be shocked by this, because he's been doing it with, you know, pitch-perfect ability as
Jarvis yeah.
for this whole time.
Oh, yeah, like,
by the way, when Tony was flying and he had that sticker, the Jesus is my co-pilot sticker, but
oh, Jarvis.
Jarvis.
Yeah.
I loved that little touch. But he's like, I'm on the side of life, Ultra. It's not. Like, says all these things, he's like, but for now, we need to get to work. And he's holding Mjolnir in his hands, like,
and the like, hands at the floor.
And everybody's standing there, and they're having this, you know, really petty argument with each other about, like, do we trust you? Do we not trust you? We need you, but, like, screw you, because you're an AI, and you can't trust AI, and, like, all this kind of stuff and everything. And then he's holding the hammer and gives it to Thor, and, like, nobody can question for even a second, like, we can
that
he's, this guy. Like, this
yeah.
is a good person because he's yeah. worthy. Like,
yeah, he's worthy. And another thing is that he is the recipient of the mind gem. He has an infinity, like, he is an infinity gem, basically, right now. Like, that's what powers him. So,
yeah.
And that was part of the scepter. Like, we found out it was confirmed, finally. Like, we knew, I think we all knew, but... You know how some people need confirmation? Like, they need to see, like, they need it hammered down. And this movie confirmed that, yes, Loki's scepter was indeed the carrier of the Mind Infinity Stone.
I always knew that it was going to be
the
Mind or the Soul Gem, just
yeah.
like what it was doing.
Yeah.
But my problem with it was the scepter was blue, and the Tesseract was blue. And so
right.
I was sitting there, and I was like, I don't understand. But when they broke it and it was the amber gem, I was like, okay. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't have two blue stones.
Right, yeah.
So I was really confused by that.
Yeah. So I was kind of glad how they did it, like how they opened it up and there it was. And I was like, all right, cool. And now he has it, you know, very prominent there in his forehead, as it always has been, that he has that little gem there. So that's confirmed, so we're done with that. You know, like, that's done. What I'm worried about, and we already talked about the Quicksilver then and all that, and do you have anything to add to, like, that amazing final scene where, like, the... that what was the area where they were... I keep forgetting where they were at the end. I know it was, like, in some
fight?
European country. Huh?
The end fight they were in... what's her name's in Scarlet Witch's hometown? I can't remember the fake country that they called it. Sokovia?
Was it Sokovia?
Sokovia sounds right to me.
Yeah. So let's go with that. Let's go with Sokovia.
And I'm going to feel
extremely bad of Sokovia as a real country, and I thought it was fake.
Oh, man.
So, tweet me at Cyan of Flame if I am mistaken.
It's Sokovia, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it is Sokovia. But that final scene where, you know, like, Ultron's plan to, like, lift Sokovia, basically, like, the whole town uprooted, bring it to the atmosphere, and then drop it like a meteor?
Yeah, he just wanted to create his own comic. I'm like, why you gotta be Sephiroth, Ultron? Like, what's up with that?
Yeah. Like, he wanted basically to, like, undo humanity the way, you know, dinosaurs were undone, so he could, like, evolve, like, with him being, like, the new race, basically, his Ultron race. And I was like, that's really out there, like, because I kept thinking, like, what is he doing? Like, what's his end game here? Like, he's just raising an army and, like, what? But then when that plan came to fruition, I was like, that's freaking genius and evil. Like, that has, like, the Loki plan, oh, I'm gonna invade New York, that ain't got shit on this. Like, this was, like, end of the world type scenario.
One of the things that, if I did have a criticism of Ultron, Ultron thinks he's right. And
right.
That's, you know, typically the best thing for a villain to be and everything. To make a great villain, they should think that they're the hero. But there's one moment where Tony and Ultron are having the showdown in South Africa. And Ultron says, oh, well, let me just tell you all the details of my evil plan, and then blast him.
Right.
And I was sitting there, and I was like, I get what you're going for, but, like, you should have just said plan. And that would have made me think, like, wow, that was well done scene. Instead, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Ultron wouldn't think he's evil. Like, if Ultron thought he was evil, he would change his programming.
Yeah, and I think...
So, like, it just gave me, like, a like, if I was a robot, my gears would explode, because I was just sitting there like, oh, that's not well done. No.
I think, again, this goes back to the whole Tony Stark being, like, deeply ingrained into the DNA of Ultron's creation, that he was going to say things like that and not catch himself, so to speak. So I don't think when he said the evil thing, he meant that it was an evil plan. Does that make sense? Like, he for him, it's not an evil plan. It's a logical plan. He just said evil for the sake of being funny to them. Because, again, he wants to be like his creator, like Tony.
Yeah. I just still didn't like that. He shouldn't have said evil. It did not work for the character very well. And
I do think he was a little too funny to be Ultron. Like, I was expecting him to have some...
I did like the, like, little bit of poetry that he spit out and everything, and the fact that he turned... I mean, for as much Pinocchio singing as he did, he straight up turned into Ariel from The Little Mermaid when he's like, everyone creates the thing that they hate, like, their own engine of destruction. It's like,
right.
Men of peace create engines of war. People create smaller people. Children!
Yeah.
I lost the word there. You know, like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Are you not a supercomputer? Like, what just happened here?
Yeah, I love that. I love that he had to search.
Yeah, he's like, downloading, updating database.
But again, I think that was more of him. Like, every time he did something like that, I saw Tony. Every time. Because it was something that Tony would do. Because you know how Tony's super, super smart, and he pretends to forget things? He'd be like, oh, what's that word I'm looking for? He knows the word. He's pretending not to know the word.
Maybe.
Yeah. Now, all things said and done, and, you know, like, can we talk about that after credits, or the mid-credits scene?
Yeah, before that.
What's
that? The fight sequences in this movie. So, like, if I were to have a criticism of this movie... The fight sequences in this movie were too zoomed in, like they were too pulled in.
I felt like I was only getting, like, a face shot of Cap as he throws his shield and, like, Thor swinging his hammer and everything. If it had pulled back a little bit so I could see a little bit more, I think it would have been a lot better. It just felt too high and tight.
Yeah, and I think that's criticism, because I thought the same thing, is because we got such great fights from Captain America, Winter Soldier, which were pulled back. We got really good cinematography and choreography in the fights in that movie, where you could see everything, like, especially the, mostly any fight that had Captain America versus Bucky Barnes himself, like, versus the Winter Soldier, were really pulled out, and you can just appreciate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whereas most of the fights here, you're right. And then there's also the problem that a lot of the fights were group fights. So you were focusing on one person during a big fight when there was like 50 things happening around them.
See,
and it wasn't until certain...
I think that's a problem, because, I mean, I can watch, you know, the Royal Rumble, and the focus that I should be pointing on is, you know, someone getting thrown out, but like every once in a while, you'll look in the other corner, you're all like, oh man, Kofi's doing something crazy, like... And it's just enjoyable to see. Meanwhile, there's these other things. But I think they also didn't do a great advantage of the fact that it's group fights. They're really good about that in the first one with the team coordination and everything. Whereas in this one, the only team players were Cap and Thor. Like, they were the only ones who did tag team moves. Like, the bang the shield, the shield... Shield hammer smack, all that kind of stuff. Like, they just didn't do enough of it.
Yeah, there was a bit of less tag team, I guess. And I think, yeah, because even in the first one, I think even Iron Man did a couple of tag teams with, what was it? With Cap, with the shield. Like, he would shoot the shield and it would reflect and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, in the first one when he did the beam and that was awesome.
So yeah, I mean, and that could be part of like the rhythm of the movie, because it was a darker movie. I mean, it was like, you know, like a second chapter where everything's kind of a little more we don't know how this is gonna go type scenario. So I did like the tag teams that happened during the Korea scene. I think was my favorite scene, where again, Quicksilver. I'm gonna bitch about Quicksilver not being in the Marvel Universe for a while now. When Quicksilver was helping the people in front of the train while they were inside the train. I think it was the train, right? Or was it a car?
They were in a train. Like, it was a rail. It was just
a
rail car.
Yeah, like, and he's like...
the rails and almost crashed if Scarlet Witch hadn't done the Spider-Man 2 moment and, you know, slowed down the gears.
Right.
Well,
yeah, like, they were like, oh, you know, do this while we do that. And, you know, it was not so much a fight tag team, but it was like a tag, you know, they were working as a team for one situation. It was like one of those few moments in the movie where all of them were working together for one goal, besides the scene at the end, you know, towards the end of the movie, which was... they ruined it in the trailers, now that I think about it. When they team up for the first time towards the end, when they're sitting in that center console fighting the Ultrons, like, that was the money shot. That was kind of like the only time that they all fought together as a team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of that spot. They were really cramped in and everything, and I think that if they had shown it pulled out, because the odd thing about that scene is, in the movie itself, it's just, like I said earlier, closed up face shots, and you know, you didn't get to really feel the space of the action, and then the end of the movie, it kind of pans around, and then it zooms out, and you see, like, the actual statue set in the credit scene of all of the Avengers fighting off all the Ultrons, and you're like, that looks cool as shit. Why didn't I get that shot in the movie? Type thing. So I can get that in a statue, but not in the movie. Right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like I said, I don't... I didn't mind it too much, like you said, the close shots, but I still preferred this movie over the first Avengers.
I liked it more than the first Avengers. I thought the first Avengers took too long to get started.
Which again was part of the whole
this one, it was trying to blend in, you know, five different franchises or however many, four at least.
Five, definitely.
So I mean, it had a lot of work to do with that. I was surprised that there wasn't really a whole lot of setup. I thought that they went for a lot more comedy in this one. But it was well-paced. It was really well-paced. I mean, it opens up with that, you know, scene. And that opening scene where they have start off in the battle sequence against Baron von Strucker. And for whatever reason, Black Widow and Hawkeye crash their Jeep and go jumping, and it does that slow-motion shot of all of them. Stupidest shot in the movie.
Which is everyone's like favorite shot.
I
like,
shit all over that slow mo sequence.
I love that shot.
All I'm thinking is, why the fuck did they crash and then come flying out of it? They were going at least 40 miles an hour. Widow and Hawkeye are dead.
But they're superheroes. Like,
no, they're not.
They can't. No, they're
super,
I mean,
spies. They're super heroes.
I think if you're part of the Avengers, I don't care if you're, like, the janitor of the crew, you're a superhero. Like Jarvis,
like
in the comic.
Like, literal old man Jarvis?
Yeah, like, old man, like, literally
who,
old man
who got,
Jarvis
who got
is
possessed
a superhero.
By a, who got taken over by a Skrull and stole Luke Cage's baby.
Jesus.
I kind of hate the fact that, like, there's, like, 50 years of Jarvis in the comics, like, being, like, just a loyal, you know, butler and, like, taking care of everything and being just a good old man and, right. And everything. And all I boil him down to is, like, you got kidnapped by the Skrulls and you took that man's baby. You like, fucked up, Jarvis.
The one bad thing he's ever done.
You fucked up, Jarvis. Like, it just breaks my heart. But nice. Pulling back and everything, I loved that Vision pulled Ultron out of the internet. He shut him out of the internet. I don't get how he did it. Like, I wish they had done, like, a more, like, cerebral interface. Because what they should have done there when Ultron had his hands on Vision and Vision put his hands on Ultron, and they had that little stare down, and it showed him burning him out, they should have shown, like, a cerebral interface of the two of them, like, battling it out, and he cuts off his connection at each point as he tries to pull out.
Just like did it in the beginning, so to speak.
Exactly. And because I didn't get, you know, exactly what happened that he fried him out, and I didn't get why, if he fried him out of the internet, he still had remote control over all the other Ultron bots. Because, I mean, he didn't grab each and every one of those and pull them out of the internet. So... Right.
I think that would have been more like an intranet type thing.
Yeah.
But you're right, they should have explained that a little better.
I didn't get why it wasn't until the very end that the Iron Legion bots started having the red glowing eyes and the smile. Because that moment where the two bots like fly up in front of that family and have that classic Ultron smile, that's what gave me chills. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He always does have the big grin.
Big giants.
Yeah, big giant, yeah.
And I wish that he had, like, addressed the world. Like, what? Am I mistaken?
Oh, like an actual...
Or was there a moment where, like, he told the world where the world was going to die?
I don't remember him doing that. No, he didn't. Like, I know really, in Superman they did that, or Man of Steel.
I really would have liked him to tell the world that the whole world was about to die and there was nothing they could do about it. That's my favorite scene from the Avengers of Mightiest Heroes cartoon, is Ultron, like, faces the world on an interface as he's uploading the nuclear missiles that they're all going to strike type thing, which they explain why he wasn't able to do that in this one and he had to do that. But he should have had the floating city, and it's like, I am an intelligence program designed by Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. and I am Ultron 6 going to destroy this world. Because I think that would have set up a lot of, like, things for Civil War of, like, well, we can't trust these heroes. They're creating murder bots that, like, almost
hurt
the planet type thing. It's like, but they made one good one. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I think probably why they didn't do the announcement thing. I thought it was weird that even Loki didn't really do it. Loki only announced himself in the, where was it, Germany?
Oh,
it was in Germany, right?
That baller-ass old man in Germany. When,
When
Loki's like, there is no man like me. And he's like, there are always men like you. And
I
bow before you. And I was like, yes, old-ass man.
Yeah, like, and I love that scene, but I always thought that it was weird that for a guy as egotistical as Loki, that he didn't make an announcement in New York to the world when the portal was opened. I always thought it was weird. But at the same time, that's kind of like a trope, you know, like a very, you know, it's kind of a corny, campy trope for villains to do that, but at the same time, it's like, it's kind of a big deal. Like, I'm expecting, now that Ultron, you know, we're done with Loki, we're done with Ultron as far as, like, Avengers villains, I would be very disappointed if Thanos does not make any sort of, like, worldwide or galactic announcement. Like, I would be very surprised if that doesn't happen. Especially considering what we saw at the end of the Age of Ultron mid-credit scenes.
I don't know about that one. I think, like, the universal, like, one would just be hokey. I mean, it'd be weird for how they're going to do it. I do want to see how they do it.
He has to make some sort of, like, statement, though. Because he's been behind so much. I mean, he's been behind the events of, you know, everything that's happened on Earth. Things that have happened in Asgard, you know, things that have happened, well, everything that happened in Guardians of the Galaxy was directly correlated to him. So he has to make some sort of statement. No, or do you think he's just gonna, like, just come in and, like, beast people, like?
Well, Thanos do what Thanos do.
Yeah, it's true. But Thanos has been known to be very theatrical.
I do believe that Avengers Infinity War Part 1
mm-hmm.
is going to end with the Vision getting killed and his head ripped off so that he can take the mind gem out of his skull.
I was just going to ask you, like he has to die.
No way in hell that you're going to have an Infinity Gauntlet storyline and there isn't a point where Thanos has the gauntlet with all six gems. Like, there's zero possibility of that happening. Like, it just doesn't work for storyline. Like, that would be like in Naruto if they hadn't gotten all nine of the tailed beasts energy type thing. Like, it would have been pointless because it's like, I want to see the villain with ultimate power and I want to see the heroes beat the villain with ultimate power regardless. Like, and I want to see more of Karen Gillan as Nebula.
Yeah, when I seen, you know, when I saw the mind gem and, you know, when I seen the gauntlet, I was kind of like, wait, like, this can only go one way. And like you said, like, Vision has to die. So I wasn't so much, you predicted, like a very specific moment. I predict that the vision, no pun intended, that Tony had of everyone laid out in that weird space area that Loki and Thanos and all them have talked before.
Yeah, so how, I don't get how he got that vision, but he didn't see Thanos. Same thing that Thor got that vision, but he didn't see Thanos.
Right,
makes
I
sense
think.
Because they don't know Thanos is out there, they just know that there's somebody moving the pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's
orchestrated,
what it is.
But it's like, they're fucking visions, like.
Yeah, but I don't think also, I don't think they were seeing the visions of Thanos themselves. Like, they were seeing visions of things that were going to happen because of them, but they weren't going to have know the cause. They were just seeing, like, again, a vision of the result. And the result of Thanos, like, the Infinity War Part 1, the only reason why there's going to be a first part and then a second one, you've seen the reason. They're going to get their asses kicked. The shield is going to get broken in half. Thor and all of them are going to be laid out. Like, and they're going to be left out there, stranded in space. And then the Guardians come in and help them. No.
That's probably going to happen.
Yeah, that's I'm booking it. We're booking this, baby.
Book it.
But yeah, I'm...
Yeah, Avengers Age of Ultron, excellent. Moving forward from Avengers Age of Ultron, the next movie up on the docket is in July. We're going to be having Ant-Man and his fabulous fight against a Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm looking forward greatly to Ant-Man. I'm interested in the Yellow Jacket suit, though, because, I mean, they talk about, like, oh, they've got my technology, I need you to steal it back, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But how is it that, like, they always seem to have the enemy have a more advanced suit type thing? Like, the Yellow Jacket suit in the commercial I'm being presented is a superior suit to the Ant-Man suit, it looks like.
I think this goes, this is, and I mean, I don't know if this is because I read a lot about this. I think this just goes to every technology war ever waged, like Microsoft, Apple, and Samsung, you know, like all these companies that have always been fighting each other. A company always comes, sees an idea, right? Like someone sees like a prototype, like someone probably saw the prototype for the Ant-Man suit, said, ha! That sounds like a good idea, and then they made something better. Like, this has happened over and over and over and over and over again with technology. Which, it happened in Iron Man 2, didn't it?
Well, it happened in Iron Man 1, basically. I mean, because they've got to make it different enough, and just the shrinking aspect isn't going to be enough. But,
right.
But you have the fact that the Ant-Man suit... and the Yellow Jacket suit is totally just Iron Man and Iron Monger. But we had several points, and I mean, I know I'm just arguing off of a trailer, so it's not a fair assessment, but you have the comparison of Iron Man versus Iron Monger, where it was built up the fact that the Iron Monger was definitely not a good suit. Like, it had a ton of problems, and he didn't get past the freezing aspect and all that kind of stuff, and so he iced up and crashed down, and you know, Tony was able to beat him.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Cause I've seen the trailer a few times, and I can't really wrap my head around... Can you remind me... could you remind me what exactly the difference was between Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man? Because I know Ant-Man starts just to shrink in, and then eventually he does Giant Man, which, you know, he turns big. I know that much, but remind me what the Yellow Jacket thing is.
Well, I think Giant Man is going to be in the movie, for one, and it's going to be a shock moment where everybody's like, wow, like, I didn't expect that he could go big, and it's going to be the ending spot.
That's what she
where,
said.
where he beats Yellow Jacket by, like, stomping him or something.
Right.
But Yellow Jacket is Hank Pym's suit after Scott Lang becomes the new Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So it's just Hank Pym's new suit. It's got the wings and everything, but it does the exact same stuff. Like, I can't think of a single thing that Yellow Jacket did that Ant-Man didn't have. I mean, there was even a little bit of time where Hank Pym called himself the Wasp after, you know, he killed his own wife type thing.
Right. Yeah, because Hank Pym, and I know Hank Pym in this particular universe, which again, is fine because the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the regular Marvel Universe have always had this weird little tweaks on it to make it different. I know Hank Pym has had multiple fucking names, multiple superhero names, and different outfits and whatever. And in the movie, have they stated that he was the Ant-Man, like in the trailers or in anything yet?
Just pretty much that it's his suit. Like, he wasn't like doing adventures or anything that I can imagine.
Right.
But just
well, who knows?
Suits. I mean, maybe we'll get, you know, young Michael Douglas or something, young Evangeline Lilly. Like,
yeah,
Evangeline Lilly.
Well, no, Evangeline Lilly is
much younger than Michael Douglas, though.
Yeah, like I don't think they're an item. I think.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
So she's gonna be a romantic interest for Scott Lang.
For Scott Lang, yeah, because she's as young as Paul Rudd.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're in the same age bracket. So like, unless that would be very strange if she was. with Hank Pym in this particular scenario.
Pretty strange that Catherine Zeta-Jones is with freaking Michael Douglas too, so.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is way older than Evangeline Lilly.
It's true, also.
Just saying. Not, this is not a smash, too.
Oh,
like,
she's
I'm not...
not Janet Van Dyne, though. She's not. She's Hope Van Dyne.
Oh, so she's.
According
so she's
to IMDb, she's Hope Van Dyne.
There you go.
She's
fixed.
Not Wasp.
Yeah. She could be the next Wasp, just like Scott Lang is the new Ant-Man.
Wow, she's actually way younger than...
Paul Rudd?
The casting? She's way younger than Paul Rudd, yeah. The casting of it, like, made me go, like, oh, Evangeline Lilly, she's a lot older than I thought. She looks really good as Toriel. Like, that's impressive.
No, she's like, barely 30s, isn't she?
Like, just in the casting, I was like, oh, yeah, she's 50.
Wow. Like, not quite.
I make wild assumptions, what can I say?
I see that.
Apparently
see that.
Peggy Carter is going to be in the Ant-Man movie, which I just saw on IMDb, which is really weird.
No, because I think Carter. That... I think... Yeah, because I think... Wait, Carter, Sharon?
No, not Sharon Carter, Peggy Carter.
Oh, like the Peggy
Carter
okay.
from the TV show?
Yeah, so, again, this goes to my theory... That this there's going to be a flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Ant-Man and Howard Stark and Peggy are going to be in this movie.
Howard Stark is going to be in it, and it's going to be the Madman Howard Stark, which is weird.
Oh, so it's going to be the older one.
Yeah, which is weird.
So there's still going to be a flashback.
I hope
but it's not going to be
drunk and like sleeps with
Peggy. His entire gimmick.
I was going to say that he was going to sleep with Don Draper's wife's mother again. But,
wow. So anyway, but I think...
Mad Men booking on this thing.
I think Ant-Man has the potential to become this year's Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe not so much as grand and as funny, but it's going to be another one of those, like... Because right now... The general consensus is the same one that people had for Guardians of the Galaxy. They were kind of like, I don't know about this movie. I'm going to go see it because it's Marvel, but I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not too hype about it. That's what most people seem to be thinking. And I'm just sitting here like,
fun, like.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here like, man, like, it's Ant-Man. He's the OG. Like, he's one of the first Avengers, man. Like,
I just like that, you know, everybody does this thing against Marvel movies, and they've been doing it for years, they're going to do it for years to come. Mm-hmm. Eventually one of these superhero movies is going to fail and be bad, and it's going to ruin the whole thing, and all the...
Yeah, it's called The Incredible Hulk.
And you mean The Hulk? Like,
No. I'm going with the Marvel Studios movies. It's called The Incredible Hulk. Like, that's
a great movie. It's just
I know, but, like that's... I think that's the lesser one, right next to Iron Man 3. They're right there.
Like Iron Man 2 is the shittiest one.
I love
that. Any of them are bad.
It's Whiplash. All day.
Dude, Whiplash is whip trash, son. Like, that's all I gotta say.
Every time I see Iron Man 2 being shit on, I'm like,
so
man.
Watch Iron Man 2 again. Like,
Iron Man 2 is the best. That's the only one I watch out of the three.
What?
Yeah, I can't stand the first one, and I can't stand the third one.
How can you not stand Iron Man 1?
Because it's after you're watching the first
future,
time, it's kind of done. Forget about
this town, because I don't get this. You've got friggin' he's in the Iraqi desert building the Iron Man suit.
Yeah, that's about the only good part is the beginning. Like after that, I'm like, I'm done with this movie.
What?
Yeah, I've never been a huge like Iron Man mark.
No one has.
Yeah, like I like Tony as far as I can throw him. Like, to me, the second movie is the one I really enjoy. Like, I can get behind that movie. Not so much the third one. I mean, I still like the first one. If I have to watch two Iron Man movies, it's going to be one and two. I can't stand three. Three is, like, completely...
Three's fun, and he spits fire.
He spits fire. I just don't like that it's an obvious cop buddy movie. Like, it's done by a guy that does cop buddy or buddy cop movies, like, and it, you can tell just the way it's like, just the way the movie flows. Like, I don't like it. It doesn't flow like an Iron Man movie. Like, the second movie flows like an Iron Man movie. The first movie, obviously, flows like what the Iron Man movie should flow. Third one, not so much.
It flows like an Iron Man movie because it's got Iron Man in it. It doesn't have to have a fucking pace. Like, I'm sorry that, you know, the director wasn't Jon Favreau, but the director wasn't Jon Favreau. Deal with it.
I could have dealt with the Russo brothers, since they're obviously amazing. Even though Russo brothers.
Oh, I was like, wait. He has a brother? Like, why isn't he helping him in these Iron Man matches?
I still can't believe that two guys whose only real credit that they had was, like, they did comedies. And they gave us The Winter Soldier, which is arguably the best solo Marvel film.
There is zero argument. That is the best
Marvel film. It's the best, best solo Marvel film.
No. The best Marvel film. Like,
oh, just even the Avengers. Like.
Solo, multi-person, like, nothing adds up to that movie. That movie is quality. Start to finish, quality.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
I think a lot of people still are surprised about how that movie was a superhero movie that everyone was like, but it doesn't feel like a superhero movie. It's an action thriller. And it's like, yeah, like, that's kind of what Marvel's been trying to do. Movies that aren't superhero movies, they just happen to have superheroes in them. It's just, they have to get to that point. They have to ease into people. And I think Civil War, so I don't know how Civil War is going to flow, like, because that movie can go all sorts of ways. But if it goes by the comics, it's going to be also, like, a political movie.
I really, really, really want them to have a group of teenage characters do the bomb incident in the beginning of the movie. Like, it has It has to open with the comic book origin of the new Warriors, you know, starting a reality show, like, oh, we're so cool heroes, we're going to film us, you know, saving the day, and then, you know, one big bad villain murders all of them, blows up the friggin', you know, school full of children,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of people die, horrific tragedy, what are the heroes going to do to help us?
Like, and then it starts snowballing into that.
And then, like, Tony Stark's like, but peace in our time. And they're like, stop with the Ultron shit.
I do think the one thing that I want out of the Civil War movie, I want the money shot, like that vicious beatdown that Iron Man just gives Cap in the comics. I need that to happen. Just so that
Cap beats down freaking Iron Man. Like,
what's that?
Cap beats down Iron Man.
No, but remember the first round? You don't remember the first round?
The first round was Cap being, like, massively whipped on by, like, everybody. It was a gangbang more than it was.
Yeah, but you don't remember Tony just completely demolishing him? Like, issue 3, I think it is, of the Civil War?
One-on-one, he never did nothing. Like,
I'll get the issue later, because I think you're cackling this moment.
No, I'm not this moment. Like, Stark beat him because they, you know, did a cheap shot and they had everybody jump in type thing. And that's why, in the middle of the series, he hit him with the EMP so that he could do the counterattack in there. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, we're both playing this, you know, cheater game type thing.
Yeah. But anyway, I need that moment, teeth flying out and everything. And I also need the moment when early on, when the whole Civil War, like, starts proper, and Maria Hill, I can't remember how it goes, but Maria Hill is pretty much kind of, like, entrapping Steve, and Steve is just kind of like, don't do this, like, do not do this.
Don't,
and, you know,
put
he's
against each other.
Yeah, like, don't, I need that scene to happen, especially since Colby Smulders is, you know, really good actress, and I really think that she needs to come off as the bad guy in this particular scene for
it
to all work.
Because it seems like she's working for Steve right now.
Age
of Ultron.
Which would make the betrayal that much more, like solid. I really want them. It doesn't have to be exact. I don't want this to be like the Psycho remake, you know, type thing where it has to be shot by shot, or like the Sin City movies. But
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, Vince Vaughn, garbage. but I want them, those two scenes, and like you said, it has to start with the kids, the reality show thing. Like, you know, wanted to be heroes and then just being completely obliterated, you know, like, and being way out of their league, and the government just like losing their mind and being like, we can't do this. We have to step in. But I know that's probably not going
to
happen.
The thing is, for Civil War, I think they have to do, they have to flip it on its head, and they have to let Registration loose. I think Cap wins this time, and he doesn't walk away, and he doesn't allow himself to be taken into custody, saying, like, we're not fighting for justice, we're just fighting. Which was such a great moment for the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't see a Registration universe for the movies, especially since they need to be together for the Infinity War.
Exactly.
So I just can't see it ending the same way. There's a lot of things that could happen though. After that, on November 4th in 2016, Doctor Strange is the next movie out, starring Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm
so hyped for that movie.
Oh, I almost forgot. Also in Civil War, they announced that Martin Freeman will be in that movie because, as one of my friends said, no universe can exist where Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman aren't in it together.
right. Seems that way, at least.
It really does. Martin Freeman, he could be a lot of characters. I would love to see Captain Britain in the universe. I think he would be great. But my honest guess in Civil War is that Martin Freeman is going to be Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell? Like the...
He's going to be Captain Marvel, the Kree soldier, and it's going to have the scene in the movie where Captain Marvel, as in Carol Danvers, is bombarded with the energy of Captain Mar-Vell.
So you think they're going to prelude Captain Marvel 2 years in advance?
Oh, yeah. You have to. You can't just throw Captain Marvel out there and be all like, this is how I got my powers or whatever.
Well, no, I think they're going to do the origin. Oh, you know what, though?
Origin's
right.
Going to be in Civil War. She's going to be in Infinity War. And she is going to have her own movie in Captain Marvel. She's going to be in Civil War. I'm sure of it. I don't know who's going to play her, but...
Oh, because they haven't said it. They haven't, well... They've said a lot about the casting, but I mean, I don't think they could have kept quiet. Well, actually, they can't keep quiet, because I know for a fact that Civil War is also going to have Spider-Man. Like, they already... flat out admitted, like, Spider-Man will be in Civil War. They
I
just
still
don't know
that it's Asa Butterfield. If that short list of people they're considering is true, Asa Butterfield is the man for the job.
I'm a little sad that the road to Civil War was paved with a lot of shitty Spider-Man movies, and we have to reintroduce Spider-Man to, like, the proper Marvel Universe, since he's been on the Sony Cinematic Universe, if we're going to call it anything.
Here's the thing, is you want to introduce Spider-Man in Civil War, then the scene everybody wants isn't going to be him. You're not going to start off a Spider-Man universe with him unmasking.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's stupid. I know, that's why I'm... That's why I'm...
Daredevil. I've been saying this for a year now. Daredevil is going to be in Civil War, and he's going to unmask, and that's when all the shit's going to come down for Daredevil Season 2, is that everybody's going to know Matt Murdock's him.
I think I like that, and the timing is right, since we've had that. Like, who else could it be? Because it can't be Spider-Man, because that's what I was trying to, like, pitch, like, that because of the Sony movies and all that, like, and they have to reintroduce him to this world, like, that can't be the scene. Like, they can't do the unmasking, obviously. Like, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, Tony already spoiled it for his in the first Iron Man movie by going, screw it, I am Iron Man.
And Cap doesn't really... Yeah, Cap is... Everyone knows he's
Steve
Rogers. Yeah,
it wouldn't be a big surprise if Captain America was like, I'm Steven Rogers.
Well, everyone already knows.
I read the document, and I've been to the museum, Cap, but
well,
all right.
Well,
It's like,
yeah, like, there's no one... I guess there's no one, huh? In the current universe, other than, like you said, Matt Murdock.
It's like,
yeah, Matt Murdock.
Thor's gonna unmask and be like, I am Thor.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the S.H.I.E.L.D. show that's important that's masked, or...?
No. There's no one in the S.H.I.E.L.D. show that's important. Like, it's not a very good show.
And then Ant-Man wouldn't... Yeah, Ant-Man doesn't work either.
Oh, it could be Scott Lang.
You think so?
Yeah, could.
Then he has to do something major in the Ant-Man movie, then. Something big has to happen in that movie for him to become famous to the point where people want to know who is Ant-Man.
I guess. I just, honestly, I think that the Devil of Hell's Kitchen is the best person for the job.
Yeah.
To have that spot.
Yeah. I mean, now that you mentioned it, I think, man, like, that would be especially now, since he's the only really masked hero that we have in the current cinematic universe, especially since Daredevil's part of that cinematic universe. Like, I guess that works. I'm actually on board with that now. You just sold me Daredevil unmasking, which is fine because, you know, Daredevil was kind of always semi-Spider-Man-ish.
Or it could be Kristen Ritter unmasking as Jewel and saying that she's going to give up her life and she's just going to be Jessica Jones.
Meh.
I just like saying that because you hate Kristen Ritter.
Yeah. No hype for Kristen Ritter.
Dude, a.k.a. Jessica Jones is going to be fantastic. I think all of the Netflix Marvel series are going to be good.
If Daredevil, since they use Daredevil as the lead-in, like, you can only... Marvel does the crescendo thing. Like, it can only go higher.
Strange, since we're talking about Doctor Strange, I wonder if Doctor Strange is going to basically be a Defenders movie, or if they're going to do that Defenders series that they teased.
Well, no, they said it's a series, the Defenders.
Yeah, but, like, Doctor Strange has always been a major part of the Defenders, so, mm-hmm. like, are all the Defenders going to, like, meet up with him in Doctor Strange, or after doing a movie, is Benedict Cumberbatch going to do a Netflix TV show? Like...
Well, he'd probably be contractually obligated. And here's the thing. The Netflix stuff, even though it's, like, Netflix, you know, TV... Like, I'm using air quotations now. Like, it's TV, but it's not really TV per se. And people who have been...
There were some F-bombs in Daredevil. Like,
yeah. There was one F-bomb.
With a lot. Like.
Yeah, there was one F-bomb and a couple of shit bombs. And I seen the TV rating, and it's TVMA. So, like... Daredevil should have aired in, like, FX late at night. Like, like, Daredevil is the more mature Marvel show.
There were a couple scenes that, if it weren't for, like, interesting lighting and angles, I was like, this is an HBO show. What is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, there was, especially, spoiler alert for anyone who's never seen the Daredevil show, and what are you doing with your life if you haven't already? What is it, episode 3? Kingpin.
It's only
first
been out for a month, and it is 13 hours of your life to use up. Not everybody can watch it 3 times in a week.
Four and a half.
And you still haven't watched Arrow.
I still won't watch Arrow.
You monster.
Actually, I will watch Arrow. Like, let me rephrase. I'll finish watching Arrow, but I have to finish Flash and rewatch Daredevil again.
Well, luckily, we're only a week away from Flash's season finale, so...
There you go.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, 2 episodes. There you go. But, Doctor Strange, I could see him appearing in the shows, because they already have the people, like, from the movies, have Sif and, you know, all of them appear in the show, so I don't see what the problem would be having, like, Benedict appear in the Defenders. I really don't see what the problem would be.
More often than not, a show actor than he is a, you know, movie actor, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's got the profile of both equally.
Yeah.
I think he'd be willing to, like, he wouldn't have a problem with it. And, I mean, I'm sure that when they signed him, he got a sweetheart deal. Because, like,
yeah,
everybody loves Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, nobody's going, like, oh, Sherlock, that's crap, or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's some hipster out there somewhere going, like, oh, they could have done better. Like...
All right, so right after Doctor Strange, May 5th, 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Which we know nothing about.
I think the villain is not going to be Thanos. People keep saying it's going to be Thanos, it's going to be Thanos. You got to save Thanos. He's going to be in the background. But I think that we're going to have a lot of Adam Warlock and we're going to have a lot of Collector.
Yeah, I think Collector is an actual villain needs to happen. And Adam Warlock, if we're going to establish certain things about the Marvel space universe, Adam Warlock probably needs to be addressed. That being said, before you go on, we're missing two stones. Do you think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will introduce another one, or are we waiting until Thor Ragnarok?
Civil War will not introduce a new gem.
We know Doctor Strange will
absolutely introduce a new gem.
Yeah, because since we know that's the Soul one,
and he's
right?
definitely getting the Soul Gem from Dormammu. Like, yeah. Dormammu's going to be having Baron Mordo suck up souls with the Soul Gem and try to, you know, open that realm, and when he shuts it down, he's going to be like, what is this, Wong? And then he's going to put it inside of a jar, and it's going to be set up. And then I think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 most likely is the final gem that's going to be there, and I think it's going to already have been in Adam Warlock's cocoon.
So you think it's the Power Gem then, right?
Because Power Gem was the gem that that they actually have. Power Gem was the gem that Ronan was using.
Oh wait, we're missing one gem then. We've only had four introduced gems.
Yeah.
Fifth would be the Soul Gem. So what are we missing?
I think we're missing the Soul Gem and the Reality Gem, I think, are the two.
So we're... Oh, you think Ragnarok then?
No, I think that they're going to be in Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay. All right, so the second one. Okay, in the Guardians. Which, again, we don't really nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Like, they've been extremely tight-lipped about casting and everything.
The Tesseract, which Red Skull used in the first Avenger and was the primary one opening the wormhole, was the Space Stone. The Mind Stone is the one that Vision has in his head, is the Mind Stone. The Reality Stone was the one that was the Aether in...
That's Reality. Gotcha. Yeah.
The Power Stone was the purple one that Ronan was using. So it's time and soul that are left. So the
Soul time
Gem, I think, is going to be with
Doctor Strange.
Soul Gem should be with Adam Warlock, just based on his background. But I think it works too well with the idea of Dormammu.
Yeah.
The Time Gem, actually, with it being time, it very well could be in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because it's the end of time and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it. With it being time, it makes it a little muddy for where it could show up.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to see what they do with that. I'm very excited to see, you know, like I said earlier, Nebula again, and the whole Guardians crew. I mean, they're just fantastic together. November 3rd, 2017, Thor Ragnarok coming up. I'm expecting no less than Surtur. I need to see Surtur, the giant flame demon, like the Galactus to Thor, like
right. So and it is the proposed last Thor movie, right?
Yes.
So yeah, that absolutely has to be, like, they have to go all out for that one.
I would love to see the moment from the actual Thor Ragnarok story arc. They ended Asgard, and it actually was only reborn because Thor survived because of his link with the human Donald Blank. They won't be able to do this in the movies.
Right.
And that's why he was able to resurrect, and then he used the lightning to find the souls of the remaining Asgardians that became humans, and then, you know, brought them back in a great run. But there's a scene as the universe for Asgard is ending where he has cut off Loki's head. And he's holding Loki's head and just dragging him along. He's like, look at what you've done after he's defeated Surtur. And the universe is collapsing. And he holds his head out. And he's like, look, brother, look at the end of the universe. And you see, like, all of the events of the Marvel U. It's an incredibly well-done piece and one of my favorite Thor bits. But I need to see Chris Hemsworth holding Tom Hiddleston's severed head.
Nice.
I need to see that.
Yeah, especially since it's been, I mean, it was flat out, like, said when they showed the final shot of Thor: The Dark World was Loki as pretending to be Odin.
Yep.
So I mean, there's only one way this can end. Like this story, the tragic story of the brothers has to end. There's only one ending.
Tragic.
Yeah.
Infinity War Part 1 comes out on May 4th, 2018, just slightly more than an exact 3 years away. Infinity War, like, is it going to be Thanos 2 movies in a row, or do you think we're going to see, you know, the Living Tribunal, the Champion, the In-Betweener, like, any of these, Ego, the Living Planet, like, any of these others?
I think the Infinity War, like you said, I think the Infinity War is going to be definitely Thanos coming to Earth, or coming, you know, to whichever realm he needs to go to first. Asgard. Everything depends on what happens in Ragnarok. I think what happens in Ragnarok is what sets off the Infinity War. Like,
well, I think Asgard's not going to be there anymore, and the World Tree is going to start to tumble.
Right, so that's when Thanos makes his move, and he sends whatever army, because he has an army, obviously, or armies. I mean, he has a Chitauri. He's going to start the war proper, and he wants to complete the gauntlet. Like that's going to be the whole point of this, is him wanting to complete the gauntlet to just like end reality, like just end the world and kill the entire universe. So he has to come to Earth to basically get Vision's gem, or all the gems that are here, because, you know, Doctor Strange is going to have one. Like, he is going to fight through all of them, get them, and like you said, the final one is probably going to be Vision. And when he beats them, that's when it's going to kick into high gear and go into the second part, where it's going to be the heroes versus a fully powered Thanos, and... You know, you're gonna have that. I just don't know. I can see how it can work, one and two, right? Like in my head, but Black Panther and Captain Marvel being wedged between them messes my entire fantasy book.
Right? Like,
because I don't.
You're like, okay, May 2018, May 2019, 1 year between them. Like, I can do that. But then there's two movies that are taking place in between those.
Yeah, like, I do not understand how the Infinity War can be happening, right? And at the same time, Black Panther is having his solo adventure, and Captain Marvel's... Well, I can understand how Captain Marvel can be having her own, her solo adventure in space, because
yeah,
then that would...
go wherever she wants.
Because
Black Panther
can just
needs
fly
to be
back.
A Wakanda. Like.
Yeah, like, Black Panther being in Wakanda while the world...
Wakanda? Wakanda.
Yeah, like, him being in Wakanda having his own little solo adventure while the universe is about to be wrecked, I don't buy that.
You're a little nearsighted there, T'Challa.
So. Yeah, like, it just doesn't... Like, the Inhumans being after the Infinity War makes sense to me. Like, I get that. Like, I can see them being introduced at the end of Infinity War, and then a movie coming out explaining them. I can see that.
Someone did want to touch on about the Black Panther movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really too interested in the idea of a Black Panther movie until I saw some of the more later pieces built up and the new comics really building up Wakanda as, like, it, on the top, Serengeti, and on the bottom, like, the most advanced city. If you've ever played Final Fantasy VIII, and you remember the city of Estar, the very last city of the world that you go to, and it looks like it's just in, like, a salt field desert. Like, it looks like absolute garbage. And then you actually, like, get to it, and, like, you pass by that force field, and you're like, holy shit, this is the most advanced city ever. Mm-hmm. That's what Wakanda needs to be. Like, you walk by, and you're all like, oh, it's just plains and, you know, gazelle and all that kind of stuff. But, oh, my God, it's a magic city. Like, there's
so much
stuff here, because, like, the Wakandans, like, they have vibranium, and they have, you know, the best tech, and T'Challa's a super genius and everything. And then, you know, you've got all these things, and you've had, in this past movie, Age of Ultron, you had Ulysses Klaue, and he says a line comparing Ultron to Tony Stark, and Ultron karate chops his arm off. You've got the setup for your villain of the Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
Because Claw is going to be a villain in there. He's already been branded for trying to steal from Wakanda. He's going to make that sonic gun and put it into his friggin' arm stump. Like, that's gonna happen.
Right. It's just, again, the, like, everything makes sense if Black Panther was before Infinity War 1. I don't understand how Black Panther can be wedged in between. Again, Captain Marvel, And again, it's just, that's the only thing, but I still think that Infinity War 1, Thanos is coming. Like, Thanos is absolutely going to be on planet Earth. And the vision that we saw, between that Tony saw, is going to happen in that movie.
Do you think the Infinity War 2 ends like the Infinity miniseries? Because, as we know, in Infinity, Black Bolt faces down with Thanos. They, you know, battle down, and when Black Bolt realizes he can't win, he unleashes the Terrigen Mist across the entire planet, awakening every Inhuman.
Yes.
Do you think the Terrigen Mist gets released across
the planet? I think the Terrigen Mist, this is what's going to happen. I think the Terrigen Mist is going to happen in Infinity War 2, leading to the Inhumans, and basically making this the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of mutants. So that they're done with, like, the X-Men. Like, they're not even going to try and get that franchise back.
They've got Inhumans everywhere.
Yeah, because now they're going to get Inhumans, right? And then they can set up, like, Inhumans versus whoever, like, in the future. Like, do their own, like, AVX-type thing, but with Inhumans.
And they can,
like, far up,
like, oh, you Inhumans, you're a natural, and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Like, basically, yeah, they can do the entire... They can do the entire storyline of the mutants in the regular Marvel Universe without having to worry about it anymore, because they've already done this in the comics, and we're already kind of, like, slowly gotten used to it. We're like, oh yeah, Inhumans, like, Terrigen Mist, cool, like, we get this.
Mm-hmm.
So now we don't have to worry about, well, are they ever going to get the X-Men franchise back, because they're probably never going to. So, like, this is the Band-Aid phase for the
immediate
future.
Even though Hugh Jackman said his final movie is going to be next year's Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
I need Marvel and Fox to come to a head, have a conversation like they did about Spidey, and say, like, Wolverine's got to do one last ride, and he's got to do it with the Avengers. Like, I need Wolverine.
Yeah, and I think...
In War Part 2. I need just him. I don't give a shit about the rest of the X-Men.
Yeah, and I think... I think if you do that, if you do that, the Spider-Man deal, basically, I'm pretty sure Hugh Jackman would say yes 1,000 times, because he's been all about wanting to be the Avengers.
That's
the only thing he wants right now. He's done, like, I think that's what he's done with the X-Men franchise. Because he's like, if I'm not going to be in the Avengers, like, I'll do one more, but, like, I don't think he's in it anymore. I think he's not, like, mentally in it.
Yeah. So, before we sign out and close off on here, Quicksilver, Age of Ultron version, or X-Men Days of Future Past version?
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I kind of alluded to this earlier, even though Age of Ultron, more true to the Marvel Universe, had the accent, had everything set up,
the right age.
I just like the person who did it.
I hate that actor.
I really liked the way he did it, because you're all like, he's a dickbag. I like it.
Evan Peters, I hated him in every single season of American Horror Story. I hate that guy. I cannot stand him. So, like, yeah, him being the Quicksilver. I seen the recently. I was rewatching. X-Men First Class. And I think
he's going to be in Apocalypse, yes.
Was he in Days of Future Past, though?
Yeah, he was only in Days of Future Past. He wasn't in First Class.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
For some reason, I could have sworn he was. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, don't like the guy. I did like the scenes with him, like... When he showed up, the power.
He did. I just don't like the person. So
yeah. I really don't like the actor, and I don't like the version of Quicksilver they're doing. I don't like the punk kid type thing. I don't like that. I like the Age of Ultron version.
It's not Quicksilver, but I like it, so I like it more.
Yeah. Like, if it was called something else, like, that's the thing about the X-Men movies.
If
like,
you called him called, Speedy, you'd be okay with it.
Yeah, like, if he was called, like, I don't know, Barry West, I'd be like, alright, whatever.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You couldn't even give it Wally West or anything?
Nope. No, Barry West. Has to be its own thing.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
Oh man. Oh wait. Before we sign off, do we want to talk about that that other superhero movie that the trailer came out and everyone's losing their minds?
Yes, we absolutely do. We are talking about Dragon Ball Z Resurrection of F. Frieza's Revenge. Goku
complete
and Vegeta train by Whis, the master of Beerus, the god of destruction. They're going to be facing Frieza, who has come back to life. Absolutely
and that,
incredible battle.
And that is how you no-sell Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Oh, I totally forgot about that movie. You're right.
But Shane, do you bleed?
You will.
Oh, man.
All I can think of anytime I think about Man of Steel, and like there are myriad problems in Man of Steel. It's not just this. There are myriad problems.
I think that's a podcast by itself.
But, like, all I think about is like Superman's a murderer, and so I'm at the store. I'm going to close out with a little quick story before we finish this up. I'm at the store and I walk by and I see this bobblehead on the shelf, and it says Man of Steel, General Zod, and like it's an old toy that they've got like on the clearance rack, and so it's been like shaken in the box and everything. So like Zod's head untouched is like just like wobbling all over the place and everything, just leaning down. And I look at it and I'm like, why is this so weird to me? Why is it? And I just start laughing, and I'm laughing my ass off. And someone walks up and they're like, what's so funny? And I'm like, there's a General Zod bobblehead, and he's just shaking all over the place because his neck, he got his neck broken. He can't keep his neck up. And they're looking at me like, this guy is insane. But, like, I'm just laughing because the idea that, like, whoever, like, coordinated merch for that movie was like, yeah, make bobbleheads for the movie. Oh, he's going to break his neck? Like, did not see that one coming. Like,
oh, man.
Or marketing for a sec. Yeah. So I mean, I'm glad to see Ben Affleck in as Batman. I'm a little sad that he's not going to get a second movie in the role since he's going to die fighting Superman. But
he's going to get his neck broken. Like,
do you bleed?
And that's the fight. Ground,
like. That's what the fight realistically would be. Like, there's going to have to be a whole...
Are we really having a realistically, like, debate on a comic book movie?
Yes. I never get that, like, whole thing of, like, Batman beats Superman with prep time and everything like that. It's like, you have one comic in the history of comics to argue about, and nobody ever brings up the fact that Superman had just, like, caught 3 nukes... and the dust of the explosion blew up into the sky and has blocked out sunlight for weeks. So, like, Superman has not had access to his power source, and he's just taken, the biggest ass-whipping of his life. And that's when freaking Batman wants to, like, fuck around with him and have him, like, blast him with kryptonite into his lungs. And
Batman be like, yep.
And he's still fucking lost because Batman had the heart attack and faked his death at the end of the fight when Superman had him by the throat. And it's like... It's like, oh, cool, like, you had him, you had your fingers at his throat, you had your moment, but, like, 999 times out of 1,000, Superman whips that ass.
The Superman markdom is strong today.
No, I fucking hate Superman, like, don't get me wrong. Like, he's a trash character 999 times out of 1,000, just the same. But, like, the rich white boy doesn't get to be God, like, just because he's the rich guy.
Wait, Luther? No.
The good rich white boy.
I just realized, yeah, like, Superman's enemies are all rich white guys.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, man.
And with that, I am Cyan of Flame.
And I'm Sir Hadrigan.
Assemble!